Hi, I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
And I'm Jennifer Watley Maxell, the Program Curator for the Ministry Collaborative. Obviously, we are living in a time of seismic shifts.
And these podcasts are often recorded ahead of time. This recording was done before the global health crisis caused by COVID-19.
And also before the most recent painful and poignant examples of racial injustice in our society.
The Ministry Collaborative seeks to promote and nurture deep and searching conversations about God's activity in the world
and our place in it.
And so, with all that,
we commend this podcast to you. Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a series of honest conversations about opportunities,
challenges,
and joy in ministry today.
I'm Adam Mixon, Content Curator.
I'm Adam Borneman, Program Director.
I'm Jennifer Maxell, Program Curator.
And I'm Mark Ramsey, Executive Director of the Ministry Collaborative.
A project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation, the Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network of pastors and congregations
committed to faithful, creative, and courageous engagement in their communities.
Every day, we are inspired by ministry leaders from across the country who are exploring possibilities,
learning from broad perspectives,
taking risks,
and who are eager to join candid discussions that generate disruptive creativity. This is Adam Mix, and I'm sitting with Jennifer Watley Maxell, Adam Borneman, and Mark Ramsey, and we're talking about the third space that the Ministry Collaborative is seeking to create. And that third space is between the church and the academy, where we are reminded again about the broadness of the body of Christ outside of our institutional and denominational boundaries, that the church is immensely greater than the sum of its parts. And we're learning how to see and exploit that reality and how it's working out creatively in the communities where we serve.
Yeah, I think the key thing you say there is we're trying to see it, because I would push back on the notion of us creating it, because I think what we're seeing is that it exists.
The space
and, and I think it's existing because that's what the Spirit does. It creates new spaces where people are doing ministry in ways that we don't anticipate. One of the things that's so exciting for me in the work that we're doing with such a broad diversity of pastors across this country, I see when I go meet pastors for the first time and they're interested in being part of our network, they're drawn to it because they're sensing a recovery of an ecclesiology that is collaborative and local. It's not that they hate the institution or the background that they come from. They've benefited from it immensely, but there is an energy in that type of space that you're describing. I do think we still draw on those other spaces. It's not to their detriment, but it is recognizing that there are all sorts of other creative spaces for us to be in together. I think a lot of our ministers and their lay leaders as well just get a lot of energy and inspiration. That it's one of my favorite parts of the work that we do, is seeing that on the ground.
Well, and I think it speaks to, a lot of churches use this language of doing life together. And what always strikes me when we use that language is, yes, we're doing life together, but you have to do it at my house. Is the way that it actually plays out. Like, I will come and invite you, but everything has to happen at my house. I'm not going to come eat at your house. I'm not going to spend the night at your house. You always have to come to my house. And I think that I think the times are really forcing us out of that mentality, because folks aren't coming. They're not coming to our house. And so it's forcing us to really look at, okay, what other spaces and what other ways are there for us to, do life together that do not require that everything has to happen at our house.
Yeah. And everyone's talking about collaboration, but I think we've experienced it's incredibly difficult to actually live into. There's a congregation I know, fairly large congregation, that it was described that they function like a supermarket. Everyone comes in the same door, but shops in their own separate aisle. And then they might meet each other at the checkout and have a little conversation and call that community. That is not community, and that is not collaboration. It should be no wonder that this is difficult. With all due respect to what denominations can do if you're in a denomination, or what the academy has done as all of us have gone to study and learn and get degrees, neither is a particularly highly developed model of collaboration. The academy basically rewards those who work on their own and achieves on their own. Denominations are much more into command and control. And I say this as someone who's been dedicated to working within my denomination for 3 decades, but they're not wired for this. So I think a question is, where do pastors and where do congregations begin to learn and cultivate collaboration?
Well, first of all, I think it starts with getting clear about what we mean by a buzzword like collaboration. I think the first thing to say is there's not going to be clarity about collaboration because it's inherently messy. And it doesn't mean the same thing as uniformity or universal consensus or everyone has to believe the same thing or be working on the same thing. The best collaborative work I've been involved with is when there's been uncertainty combined with creativity. That to me is really good collaboration when you just have the right people moving in the same direction, that they're aligned well, but there's some creativity and uncertainty moving forward. Mm. And we try to instill that even in our cohorts. Some people want to join a program and say, okay, what's the plan? And we say, the plan is for you all to come together and discern what the plan is. I mean, to kind of work together in this messy connections that you all have with one another, that to me is moving a lot closer to collaboration. And back to the bigger picture that, Adam, you painted at the beginning, it's moving closer to collaboration, but also to, in my view, a much healthier, robust, creative ecclesiology that is not unprecedented, but I think a lot of us are unfamiliar with.
Your words about the creativity and the uncertainty, to me, again, that's learning how to manage the conflict that follows being in a diverse environment and embracing that not as a weakness, but rather as a strength. I found out from the cohorts that I've been in, the one that I'm leading in Birmingham, is that because that group is intentionally diverse, there's this huge capacity for growth and movement and learning. And it just does not happen if you went to said seminary and got this label and now you're Reformed and you hang around with Reformed folks, or you are a part of this denomination and this presbytery or this, and you hang around with these folks. You don't get that type, that opportunity for learning in an environment that's not diverse. And again, it's kind of baked in to how our communities are established. In the community where I serve, we've got 3 different churches from 3 different denominations that are within blocks of one another. The notion that we are all Christians serving the same community, but somehow we cannot work together and learn from one another, is ridiculous.
Well, and I think what you said about capacity is really important, that, you know, collaboration isn't just collaborating for the sake of collaborating, that when it's done well, what we then experience is capacity building, that it's not about us just bringing everything we have so we have more stuff, but it's us bringing our gifts, our skills, our strengths, and allowing the people who have those gifts and skills to operate in those areas. And the ones that are not your thing, there's somebody else whose gift that is to operate in that. Last year, I had an experience with one of my ministries where, as the founder, you know, there are some things that I do well and some things that I don't. And one of the things I don't do well is email for some reason. But I kept saying at the end of every meeting, I'm going to send out the minutes. I'm going to send out the minutes, because I just felt like, as the leader, I have how many degrees? I'm gifted. Like, I can do this. And finally, one of the people on the volunteer staff came up and they were like, Rev Jen, we love you to death, but no. We're not letting you send out any emails. It takes you forever. It just does not work. This is not your gift. And at first, I was kind of taken aback, but then there was so much freedom and not feeling the pressure. Because for me, I was driven by this need to take what I considered a weakness and try to make it a strength, instead of looking at what I do well and making my strength stronger. And I think collaboration allows us spaces to let go of the things that we don't do as well, to let go of the things that are not serving our individual ministries and our churches, and let somebody else who does that thing really well come alongside and work with us, so that the needs of the entire community are still being met, but we're also doing it in a more efficient, more excellent way.
This is hard because it requires us to let go.
Humility.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It's hard. It's hard to let go and let other people take stuff and run with it.
Yeah.
I think for too long, collaboration has been talked about as in the category of you've got to eat your vegetables. You've got to have collaboration and people kind of nod at it, rather than what we're talking about, something essential to good ministry. I think diversity is much the same way. No one that I know of, at least in our circles, is going to say they're not for diversity, but it's kind of like, yeah, we got to work on diversity. We're a very well-evaluated ministry, and one thing that has come through cohort after cohort is the more diverse our cohorts, gender-balanced, denominationally diverse, racially diverse, large church, small church, urban, rural, senior pastors, associate pastors, campus ministers, figure out every category you can of diversity. The more diverse our cohorts, those cohorts themselves report their highest satisfaction. Mm-hmm. We begin to narrow any of those categories, they like it, they don't love it. That's not us imposing it. That's them reporting that. I feel much the same about collaboration. But collaboration is hard work and it has to be dedicated work. I think a good adage of collaboration is most messes can get cleaned up among people of trust and vulnerability and goodwill. If you work on the trust and vulnerability and goodwill in collaboration, then it will be messy. It will be a little reckless. It will not tie everything down, but it'll kind of look like the body of Christ. It'll kind of look like all those people contributing something essential to something that's larger than ourselves.
To me, one of the most instructive pieces of research, how crucial to have a high degree of cognitive diversity and psychological safety in a group. So You creating a space where you truly do have a high diversity of people who also feels like they have they can build trust together. That's where I think we've seen, not only in the research, but anecdotally on the ground with our cohorts, with the congregations we work with, where you have both of those at a high degree, you do actually start to see clearer glimpses of collaboration and, frankly, fruitful ministry.
I would argue that's how the church universal was intended, and that's how it remains healthy. I was watching a program on the Pride of Lions that were in the Serengeti, and they had mastered their environment, and they were a dominant pride, and they mingled and mixed all with one another so that they were genetically similar. The entire pride, this large pride, was genetically similar. But then there was a disease. And because they were all so genetically similar, it destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. So what made them large and dominant and prominent in this area was also what led to their downfall. And I think in much of the conversation we have about decline, denominationally, and this anxiety that follows that decline is directly related to that sense of homogeneity. You know, we're going to stick with our group over here. We're going to stick with our group over there. There's no cross-pollination. Mm-hmm. So we're all dying from the same thing. Mm-hmm. Instead of embracing this opportunity for collaboration, embracing this diversity, even if, again, it's messy and it's hard work, it's going to lend toward our survival. Because that's what the church is supposed to look like, right?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, you know, as someone who my cohort is just finishing up, we finish up our 3 years, and one of the things that I always share with new cohorts that are forming is, you know, when you first show up in the room and you kind of look around who's in the room, one of the benefits is that you very quickly realize that my kind of people are not necessarily in control in this room. And so it changes the dynamic when, you know, there aren't more women or there aren't more people of color or there aren't more AMEs or whatever it is that I or whoever identifies ourselves at. When you look around the table and that's not, you know, there, it kind of takes away your safety. So it's like going back to grade school. Who do you sit with at lunch? when you don't know anybody else in the room. And it forces you, I think, to really draw on some aspects of ourselves as adults, and particularly as ministers who are always in leadership, who are always in familiar rooms and spaces where we have control, to now pull on some other aspects of ourselves that we don't often have an opportunity to engage. And I think it's in that leaning into that different space that we don't often have a chance to engage, that we really experience a level of personal growth that I think then spreads out to the group as a whole. So I think that we cannot take lightly, you know, the whole diversity issue. And I think it is kind of the secret sauce, particularly in ministry spaces where, I mean, we are notorious for not playing well with others.
Yeah, and I think for congregations or faith communities that are looking for, you know, the culture's taken so much away from us, or so much has been pried out of our hands, if you will, as a church. Where's a space we can reasonably and in a healthy way occupy in culture? One of them is this. You know, there's a book a few years ago, and there have been other similar papers, The Big Sword, How We're All Living in What the Authors Call Landslide Counties. Essentially, we've tended to group ourselves living among people who think like us, shop like us, consume the same media, have the same backgrounds. And the amount of places and times any of us in this culture can go and encounter people, like you were saying, Jennifer, who are radically different or even just a little different, is becoming less and less. At our best, that can be the church. It astonishes me, as I lead Bible studies for years and years, how the New Testament particularly always assumes community, and how you get a group of people together in church, they always read at first, what's in this for me? Instead of seeing first, this assumes community. I actually think, and I don't think pastors are wired this way. I don't think we were trained this way. And you don't have to join a formal cohort like the ones we do or others do in ministry. But I think everybody in ministry needs to constantly ask the question, who else can be in on this thing that I'm working on? Who else? How do I expand the circle today? Too often, people think, I'll get it started, I'll get it nailed down, then I'll go look for partners. The looking for partners, the expanding the circle, has to happen first.
And I think that's a key element, because I think so many times when we are invited into something, we are invited to assimilate into something that is already there. We are very rarely invited to true collaboration where we're showing up to kind of this empty table and saying, okay, everybody show up and bring what you got. Let's put it in the table and let's see what we come up with. If everybody puts in what we have, do we have Thanksgiving dinner? Do we have breakfast? Do we have lunch? Because the thing that we realize is based on the next gathering, the next collaborative opportunity that has different individuals, we're all going to come up with something different. And I think we've assumed that even when we change the individuals in the group, we're always going to come up with breakfast or we're always going to come up with lunch, instead of not having an idea or a goal of what we want to come up with.
Yeah. I think the kind of qualifying collaboration as entering into community is probably a wonderful way of thinking about this. Because I think, again, you know, our faith is in many ways that of graciously entering into a community. You didn't set the standards whereby you entered in only by grace. And it actually is a guard against error. There's an African proverb that says, I am because we are. And because we are, therefore I am. There's this modern spin on it, and I don't know who said it. But they said it like this. They said, illness becomes wellness when you replace the I with a we.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast.
Our producer is Marthame Sanders.
To find out more about us and our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.